Thank you. begin to bless his holy name. Give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration. Worship the King of Kings, worship the Lord of Lords. Bless his holy name. He's worthy to be praised, he's worthy to be adored, he's worthy to be magnified. There is no one like him. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Magnify his holy name. Magnify his holy name. Worship him. Worship him. There's no one like him. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the unchangeable Lord. Give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration, because he's going to visit somebody tonight. Give him glory, worship him, adore him, let him hear your voice. Magnify his holy name. He inhabits the praises of his people. Praise him so he can come and inhabit your praise. Give him glory. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the unchangeable changer. Worship him. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worship. Now lift your voice to him and say, Father, you are all I have. Please visit me tonight. Go ahead, come to the Almighty God. Father, you are all I have. You are all I have. So, please visit me tonight. Visit me tonight, O Lord. Visit me tonight. Almighty God, please visit me tonight. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Thank you. Rock of Ages, we bow before you. The unchangeable Lord, we lift you high. There's no one like you. You are the Almighty. You are the Most High. You are greater than the greatest. You are higher than the highest. You are better than the best. You are holier than the holiest. You are wiser than the wisest. You are older than the oldest. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you for all the miracles you have done on this ground. Thank you for the souls you have saved. Thank you for the sick you have healed. Thank you for the barren you have made fruitful. Thank you for mighty testimonies. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. Thank you for peace in Nigeria. Thank you that we can gather at a time like this. Thank you for answered prayers. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. Tonight, Almighty God, in the lives of all of us here, and all those who are watching by television and on the internet, and those who are listening by radio all over the world, please do something new. Please do something wonderful. Please do something miraculous. Please do something glorious. Please do something divine. Father, let all needs be met tonight. And let every one of us leave here singing a new song. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let someone shout hallelujah. Well, as Dr. Paul would say, shake hands with seven people and just say, God bless you tonight. And I hope you are counting. After that, you may please be seated. God bless you. It's already a wonderful night. And by the special grace of God, it's going to get better. And I want to thank God for my son who preached before me. That's a wonderful message. I'm glad that I'm a son of God. So no babalawo, no mamalawo, no egbanlawo, no aburulawo is allowed to touch me. What a marvelous message. In less than 25 minutes, he gave us the gospel the way it should be. He told us the benefits of being a child of God. And he reminded us of the responsibilities of a child of God. I don't know if you heard everything he said, but you should go back to your churches and begin to behave like a true child of God. If you say you are a child of God and you have no responsibilities, there's another word for that kind of child of God. It's a bastard. So think again. You are in the church. You are not in the choir. You are not a worker. You are not an usher. You are not in the prayer warrior squad. You're just there sitting down. Check again whether you are truly a child of God. Oh, but daddy, I pay my tithe and I give my offering. That is the basic. Everybody does that, including the pastor. The Almighty God expects you to do something extra for him to be pleased with you. Sir, thank you very much for that message. May God bless you and bless your ministry. And then my other son came, Bishop Abire, to take the offering. And in 5 minutes, he taught this old man a lesson. You give to live, you eat to die. I refuse to die. I'm going to live. And so I will do what is necessary to do to live. You see, like I told the workers a few days ago. Sorry. God bless the engineers. They were clapping for the engineers, not for me. When you see that kind of clap, you know what it means. I said, if you summarize the entire message of the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to one thing. Nothing goes for nothing. Nothing goes for nothing. You don't give, you don't receive. You don't sow, you don't reap. I love those who love me. You don't serve God, don't expect him to bless you. You don't do your duty that he wants you to do. He might just remove you so that he can put somebody else in your place. Settle down properly. Tonight's Holy Ghost service is going to be different. So it may not go the way you expect. The one thing I am sure, one thing my daddy told me, is that long before I finish, there's someone here whose problems will be completely over. So if you're already used to the way we normally do it, because we've been coming for 14 years, you might be surprised that tonight will be something entirely different. Because God has to do something new. How many of you want to sing a new song? So shall it be in Jesus' name. Let me seize the opportunity to invite you to the Congress from December 7 to 12. We're going to have, by the special grace of God, the greatest Congress we have ever had. The theme is the floodgates of heaven. And I'm sure by now you know that I don't choose the theme myself. I asked my daddy, what do you want us to talk about? What do you want to do? And when he said the floodgates of heaven, I jumped for joy. Because if he throws open the floodgates of heaven, somebody's going to swim in blessings. If I were you, if my work at all will allow me, I won't miss a day. Now I know that there are some of you whose work will not allow you to come from day one, and you will be watching on the internet and so on. But if at all possible, if at all possible, if you can just ask your boss to give you Friday free, so you can arrive on Thursday and then have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that will be something. But I can assure you, I'm not a prophet, I'm a pastor, but I hear from God once in a while, and apart from him, this one is going to be totally different. And what is about to be tonight is a foretaste of what is coming in December. Let somebody shout a big hallelujah. All right, Colossians chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 9 to 11. Colossians 3, 9 to 11. Our theme is in Christ alone. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, born nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. When we talk about Christ, and we talk about in him alone, we are trying to discuss those things that you can get only in Jesus Christ. When I was talking to the workers, I gave them 12 of those things that you can get in Christ alone. But tonight, we don't have all that kind of time. So I will just talk briefly about maybe 3 major things, and then tell you why Christ is unique, and tell you what you need from him to change your life completely, and then tell you what and what he will probably be expecting from you, so that this night will become a night to remember. Let's talk about physical being. No man is made of body, soul, and spirit. So let's begin with the body. Doctors can heal, and I thank God for doctors, but only Christ can make whole. And there's a world of difference between the two. Luke chapter 17, from verse 12 to 19, Luke 17, verse 12 to 19, the Bible tells us the story of how Jesus cleansed 12 lepers. 10 lepers, rather. 10 lepers. After the 10 were cleansed, one came back with a loud voice giving glory to God. And Jesus said to him, after he had complained that he cleansed 10 and 9 were ingrates, he said to the one that was grateful, he said, "Go, thy faith has made thee whole." And this man was already cleansed. He was already healed. What is this wholeness again? You see, you will go to the hospital and complain of headache, and they give you whatever they give to people with headache. Thank God I've forgotten what they call them. I used to know all their names. Thank God for Dr. Jesus. You too will soon forget their names. But you can go back home with a little problem in your stomach. You might go to the hospital, they might think you have fever, and they give you something to take care of fever, when in actual fact, the fever was just a signal that a little bit of cancer is already creeping in. So when we talk about wholeness, we talk about being free from every form of sickness or disease. I mean, for example, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 14, 2 Kings 5, verse 1 to 14, tells us the story of Naaman. Naaman was a leper. And if you have ever seen a leper before, you will know they are not a very pleasant sight. Wounds everywhere, nose, ears, fingers dropping off, toes. But when God healed Naaman, the Bible said his skin was restored to him like that of a newborn baby. When God makes you whole, he will not only heal the wounds, there will be no scars left. I told a story last Friday at the Holy Ghost service at the camp. I told the story of when I just returned from abroad, and one of my daughters came to me and said, "Daddy, our grandmother is dying." She went to the hospital and they gave her an operation, did an operation, and because of her old age, the wound refused to heal. And so now every time she ate, the food was coming out of the stomach. And because she was rich, the doctors put her in a special room, expecting her to die anyway. She was old. My daughter said, "Daddy, I don't mind if she dies, but I don't want her to die in a mess. I want God to heal her first, and then she can die if she wants to. Please come and pray for my grandma." I told her, "I'm sorry, I'm tired. I can't travel with you now. They bring me an handkerchief. She brought an handkerchief. I prayed over the handkerchief. I said, take it to her. I was acting in faith. She took the handkerchief, laid it on grandma. By the time she came back the following day, the doctors could not even find the place where they operated. Now, that is wholeness. For a long time, many of us have been asking for healing. Tonight, we are going to ask for wholeness. When we say we can find wholeness only in Christ, you know very well that when doctors fail, and doctors can fail, they are human beings, they have good intention, and I have great respect for them, but occasionally they try their best and they still fail. I mean, you know the story in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34, Mark 5, 25 to 34, the story of the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says she suffered many things at the hand of many physicians. She spent all she had, and instead of getting better, she grew worse, until she came in contact with Jesus Christ. And in an instant, there was no question of take two tablets in the morning, two in the afternoon, two in the evening for 7 days. In an instant, she was made whole. Because doctors, the best of doctors, refer cases. When they can't handle your case, they refer to someone who is more qualified. They keep on referring. But Jesus Christ never refers a case. When you come to him, you have come to the last bus stop. And I am confident that tonight, that which doctors cannot even handle, Christ will do it for someone in Jesus Christ. Doctors are wonderful people. Please don't look down on them. They are well trained to take care of bodies. But what do you expect them to do when the sickness is of a spiritual origin? I mean, in Luke chapter 13, verse 11 to 17, Luke 13, verse 11 to 17, the Bible talks about a woman who had what Jesus called the spirit of infirmity. Demons don't appear on X-ray. All the echogram, or what do you call it? All the examination methods that can be done. X-ray, CT scan, whatever, will not show a demon. And when doctors examine you from head to toe and they find nothing wrong physically, what do you expect them to do? There is no drug for taking the care of somebody whose sickness is of spiritual origin. I mean, Matthew chapter 12. From verse 22 to 30. Matthew 12, 22 to 30. Talks about somebody who was dumb and blind. And they brought him to Jesus, and what Jesus did was he cast out the demon.
in him. It was the demon that was blocking his eyesight. It was the demon that was holding his tongue tight. The moment the demon that is absolutely unique is the word. You know, in the beginning was the word. John chapter 1 verse 1. And he began to explain to me. It was on one of these nights when I went for a walk, and the two of us were discussing. He said, when you call me king, there are several kings. I mean, Yoruba land, there are several kings. I visited a village once. The total number of houses there, total number was less than 10. And they had a king. He's a king in his domain. So if you call me king, there are others who can share the name, share the title. If you say Lord, we even have people who are called landlords. They are lords too. You call me the rock. There's even one rock somewhere here. Aso rock, they call it. But when you say the word, nobody shares that name. And suddenly it became clear that all it takes for miracles to happen is for the word to speak a word. When the word speaks a word, miracles happen. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, Genesis 1:1-3, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be. And suddenly there was light. Just a word. And so when you go through the scripture, you say, I didn't see it like this before. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Mark 10, 46 to 52. Bartimaeus was crying, I'm tired of darkness. I'm tired of darkness. Have mercy on me. Jesus said, what do you want? I just want light. He said, all right, get light. And his eyes popped open. Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Mark 2, verse 1 to 12. The man was paralyzed from neck downwards. They broke the roof to bring him to the presence of Jesus. Jesus didn't pray for him. Jesus didn't touch him. He spoke a word. And the man they carried in walked back home. Suddenly I understand. Ezekiel 37 verse 1 to 10. Ezekiel 37 verse 1 to 10. God took Ezekiel to the valley full of dry bones and said, son, can these bones live? He said, only God, only you can tell. This is beyond my faith. He said, speak. Prophesy. Glory be to God. That's why I love the Holy Ghost service. You know, I was in the country, the capital of the country. I had a program for 3 days, and there was not a single word of prophecy. God didn't say a single word. I preached, I quoted the Bible, I did everything. At the end of the day, one of the elderly men there came to me and said, sir, Don't leave us like this. Our sin must be terrible. In 3 days, God didn't say there is someone here. I was shocked. I didn't even realize that. But look at us tonight. It's already speaking. Somebody had already heard the word. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. Matthew 8. Father, I just thank you. Some of you also remember the story. Told it a couple of times. The Lord wants me to tell you, before I tell you what he asked me to tell you. We were holding a Holy Ghost service at National Stadium in Surulere. Place was packed. We had to put thousands of chairs outside the stadium. And there was a man sitting far, far, far the top of the stadium. And he had a big growth on his neck. And if you have that kind of problem, anybody sitting near you will notice that thing before they even notice your face. So a girl was sitting next to him, and from time to time she was with her corner of her eye looking at the growth. Suddenly the word of God came and said, there is someone here with a growth on his neck, and God said the growth is gone. As soon as I said the word, the girl turned, this time now to look fully. And as she turned, the growth has disappeared. It flew away as if it were a bird. And the Lord asked me to tell somebody tonight. Tonight, I will roll away your reproach. You know, the story didn't end there. The girl was so amazed, or the lady rather, that after the program, she trekked from Surulere to Palm Grove before she remembered that her car was parked in the stadium. She was dazed. And daddy had me to add to that prophecy to someone, not only will I roll away your reproach, you will become an amazement to your friends. So you can then understand Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. Matthew 8, 5 to 13. When the centurion came to Jesus and said, you don't need to come to my house. You don't need to lay hands on me. You don't need to pray. Just speak a word. If only I can see the general overseer. If only he can lay hands on me. If only, no. This centurion said, no, Lord, just speak a word. Stand on your feet. And this time, don't join hands with anyone. Lift your voice loud and clear. Say, Father, speak a word.
to my life. Open your mouth and pray. Speak a word, Daddy. Speak a word. Speak a word, Lord. I want to hear from you tonight. Speak a word to my life. Speak a word, Daddy. Speak a word. Speak a word. Shikere makatandere moko rompere mankal shanta. Kekundere moko rompere moko shikere makatan. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Now you can join hands together. Because the Bible says you are to love your neighbor like yourself. Lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, speak a word into the life of my neighbor. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Speak a word, Lord. Speak a word into the life of my neighbor too. Speak a word, speak a word, speak a word, Lord. Speak a word. Speak a word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. So shall he be. You will hear from him. I say you will hear from him. Put your hands together for the Almighty God. And please be seated. Thank God he hears prayers. He said, I've already spoken to someone. I said, I told you at the beginning that before this program is over, all your problems will be gone. That's for someone. In fact, he asked me to tell you that those of you who came here with aches and pains and sickness, you can begin to check yourself and you will know that something had already happened. Thank you, Father. Now, he says that there's someone here that you know that it will take double promotion for you to catch up with your peers. He said, I will give you double promotion twice. Asked him to speak to us and he's speaking. He said, there's someone here right now that you are barely surviving. He asked me to tell you that if you will put him first in all things,
Very soon you'll be lending to nations.
Well, when you were praying that it should speak to you, I pray that it should speak to me too. I think this one is for me, so I'm saying amen. I'm just going to announce it so that when it happens, you will help me praise God. If you want to share, you are welcome. But he says there is someone here tonight. He said your greatest hunger, it will be a lasting blessing to your generation. Daddy says, I will satisfy that hunger. So, all the barren needs to hear is a word from the word. Either it comes to you personally and it speaks, like in Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14, Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14, when he spoke directly to Sarah. Or you could send an angel, like in Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 20, when he spoke to Zechariah, Luke 1, 5 to 20. Or he could speak to his high priest, like in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 to 20. 1 Samuel 1, 10 to 20. In the case of Sarah. Or he could speak through his prophet, as in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 17. 2 Kings 4, verse 8 to 17. In the case of the Shunammite woman. All the barren needs to hear is a word. And suddenly, ones that were even considered dead will jump back to life. Again, I will tell you this story because it's going to help someone. Remember the story of husband and wife? I came and said, Daddy, we've been trusting God for the fruit of the womb for a long time. So I said, okay, how do you want your child? The husband said, a boy. Simultaneously, the wife said, a girl. So I said, okay, how about a set of twins? That's all I said. And my father backed it up. Because when I saw the couple a year later, when they were sharing their testimony, the husband was carrying the boy, the wife was carrying the girl. And I'm decreeing tonight that by the time we meet next year, the barren here will be carrying their twins. All the destitute needs to hear is a word from the word. I mean, you need to study the story in John chapter 5, verse 2 to 9. John 5 verse 2 to 9, some of you will know it's a passage I love so much. It's the story of the man who had been sick for 38 years by the pool of Bethesda.
There was something that man said that touched me. When Jesus came to him and said, "Will you be made whole?" The man said, "I have no one. I'm destitute. I have no helper. Nobody to help me get into the pool. When I'm going down, somebody gets there before me. I have no one." Jesus Christ said, "I am here for you." Oh, Lord God Almighty. Every one of you here tonight who have no one else except Christ, you will go home rejoicing. That man said, "I have no one." Jesus said, "Well, I'm here for you. I volunteer to help. You're waiting for an angel. I am here. I made the angel." And the man had only one word: "Rise up, take your bed, and go home." And that was enough. One word from him would turn a failure to a success. You know the story. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. Luke 5, verse 1 to 7. Peter fished all night, caught nothing. Jesus came into his boat, preached from his boat. When he finished preaching, he turned to him and said, "Launch into the deep and cast your net." Remember what Peter said? "We have fished all night and caught nothing. We have failed. But at thy word." At thy what? Word. "I will cast the net." And in a single moment, an absolute failure became a total success. That word that is going to change your life completely from failure to absolute success, receive it tonight in Jesus' name. I mean, some of you know the story of an uncle of mine. He used to be wealthy, an engineer, but something just went wrong, and he lost everything. He became so poor that he had to be taking the wrapper from the wife to sow buba and sorrow. So he decided that, well, death is better than shame. Being a funny man, he decided that, okay, he will commit suicide on Sunday, that he will go to church. He said he will attend his own funeral. He said he will go to church, he will sing, he will dance, everybody will notice him, then he will come home and die, kill himself. Planned everything to the detail. Then he came to church, and while the preacher was preaching, he heard a word. The preacher was telling the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the preacher said, it's a story he had heard several times, but the preacher said, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said that the God whom we serve will deliver us, they did not know how God could possibly deliver them. They didn't know how. But God did. And that word sank into him. I said, I'm so low now, I don't know how God could deliver me, but I refuse to die. The day he was sharing his testimony, he had just bought 40 cars in a day. I decree tonight, to someone who is very, very, very low, by the time we meet again, you'll be a mountaintop. One of my sons shared a testimony in Detroit, America, last month, when we went there to hold the Holy Ghost service. He said the year before he had come to the Holy Ghost service that we had in Los Angeles. Or was it? Yeah. And he was totally broke. All the money he had left in his account was a little over $300. He borrowed money to travel down to that event. And he brought that seed, that everything he had left, he cleared. And brought it to me and said, Daddy, I'm sowing a seed. This is all I have left. And I prayed the prayer that I normally pray for those who give me gifts. I said, okay, son, next time will be more. This year he came, I said, brothers and sisters, last year I borrowed money to buy economy class to come. This year I came first class. Last year I was down to nothing. Now I am employing 69 people. I pray for someone here tonight. By the time you are coming next year, you will bring people to the crowd and to the ground in buses. And the buses will be your own, not borrowed. Only a word is needed to turn defeat to triumph. Because when the Lord of hosts speaks, all forces that are rejoicing that they have defeated you will be put to flight. Because the word of God says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? The word of God said clearly, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The word of God says in Isaiah 54 verse 17, thank you, Father. The Lord said there is someone here tonight. He said, all those who want you to die soon will die before you. Daddy said there's someone here who is asking, will I see the new year? The Lord asked me to tell you, whoever you are. He said, not only will you see the new year, you see many more. Oh, thank you, Father. The Lord asked me again to tell you, there must be something special about you people in Abuja. Yeah.
Thank you, Father. He asked me to tell you a story because of a prophecy that I'm already saying yes and amen to before I tell you anyway. We had a Holy Ghost service in London over there. They call it Festival of Life. I think they don't like the word ghost. So instead of Holy Ghost service, they call it Festival of Life. That's all right. Festival of Life. Anyway, so we had the Festival of Life. And I was preaching. God spoke. He said, there's someone in the crowd. He said, I have made you 10 years younger. Now there was a woman there who came to visit her sisters. For one reason or the other, she just knew she's the one. And jumped and said, amen. And turned to the sister and said, from now on, don't call me auntie anymore. I'm 10 years younger. Shortly after that, God spoke and said, there's someone here. You already passed childbearing, but within a couple of months, you'll be pregnant and you can expect your child. To cut a long story short, just like the testimony you had earlier today, this woman who had not menstruated for years became pregnant, had a baby, and brought the baby back to the next Festival of Life. Now the Lord asked me to tell you, there's someone here tonight, God has just made you 10 years younger. Now that's not the end of it, of the prophecy. That's, you know, I told you, I said amen to that. The big part of it is God says, I will backdate your blessings. I think God wants me to get out of His way. He wants to do more. All that the stagnant needs is a word. And progress will begin. You know, Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. Acts 3, verse 1 to 8. The man by the beautiful gate had a word. Peter said, silver and gold are final, but what I have I give unto you. Rise up and walk. He had a word. And suddenly, he began to move, began to walk, and walking means forward movement. Progress began. He wasn't just moving forward, he was moving upward. He was jumping and leaping. You know, when the Almighty God opens a door, nobody can shut it. And the word of God is coming to someone here tonight. Beginning from now, not only will you move forward, you will move upward. Oh, thank you, Father. I'm just obeying God, so please, if you don't like it, the way it's coming, I told you it's going to be different anyway. Again, the Lord asked me to tell you a story. Before the next word of prophecy. Again, a story many of you probably know. one of my pastors. The wife was pregnant, almost ready to deliver. They returned from church on Sunday. They sat down to eat. And suddenly the wife collapsed and died. No sickness, no nothing. She just collapsed and died. So the pastor began to scream, "Jesus, have mercy." The noise was so much, the neighbors came rushing in. They looked down, they saw a dead pregnant woman. And but they looked at the woman and they saw that the baby inside was still moving. The death was so sudden. So they grabbed the lady, rushed the lady to the hospital. When the lady got to the hospital, the doctor saw what was happening. And they said, "Let's try. Let's see if we can reach the baby before it is too late." The baby was still moving. And because the mother was already dead, there was no need for anesthetics. So very quickly, they opened her up and brought out the baby. And everybody was praying, "God, let them reach the baby before it is too late. Let them reach the baby before it is too late." Only the husband was saying, "God, have mercy on my wife too." So the doctors quickly sewed her up. And just as they finished sewing her up, the woman came back to life. The Lord said, "There's someone here tonight, he asked me to tell you. Though they have already told you there's no hope for you, I will make a way for you." Oh, Daddy, thank you. You know, on few occasions when I'm ministering like this, I suddenly begin to hear a song. And each time I hear a song like that, big testimonies always follow. One of my sons here can testify to that. I had a song not too long ago, this year, and I told them the song I had, and they grabbed it, that is for him. And today is where he wasn't even believing God for. I'm hearing a song now. And I believe the song is for someone. You want to hear the song? Come and see, oh, come and see, oh, come and see, Lord, the Lord has done. Come and see. Well, your own is a little different from the one I'm hearing. You come and see what the Lord has done. It is marvelous in us. Come and see, come and see. Oh, ahead, give the Lord a big, big, big round of applause. You may be seated. Ah, Lord God Almighty, what a night. Amen and amen. Forgive me, I'm almost crying for joy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And yet the Lord says, and mark my word, the Lord says there is someone here. He says it's been quite a while since you took a big step forward. He said, but very soon you will take a giant leap forward. Thank you, Father. Let me conclude so that we can have time to pray a little more. Now, there's something about Christ, again, that is unique. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. He's unchangeable. And again, this is because of his name, the Word. You know, Psalm 119 verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, the world is settled in heaven. So, Psalm 33 verses 8 and 9, Psalm 33 verses 8 and 9 says, once he spake, it is done. That's why when he blesses, no one can curse. Have you noticed that to bless someone, you must speak a word? You can't bless without opening your mouth. To bless, you speak a word. And when he blesses, nobody can reverse it. Numbers 23 verse 8. Numbers 23 verse 8. He said, he has blessed. I can't reverse it. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? Not only that, he even goes further. He can change a curse to a blessing. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 to 14. Galatians 3, 13 to 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessings of Abraham might become available to us. It can change a curse to a blessing. There was a word of prophecy last Friday when God said to someone, he said, there are generational curses and there are generational blessings. And he said, it's not only canceling the generational curses, it's replacing it with generational blessings. Of course, I said amen to that one too myself. The question now is, who will he bless? Now I know you will say me. That's good.
Who will he speak to?
I'm sure you say me.
Who will he make whole?
You say me.
Who will he deliver?
Me.
But just like Dr. Paul said, you can't have blessings without responsibilities. No, nothing goes for nothing. Who will he make whole? In the story I told you in Luke 17, verse 12 to 19, Luke 17, verse 12 to 19, there were 10 lepers cleansed. Only one was made whole. What do we learn from that one? He didn't just come back to say thank you to God. And I'm sorry, many of us are ungrateful people. I believe that will change tonight. But he was giving glory to God in a loud voice. You know the meaning of that? It was not just testifying. He was doing it in such a way that people will hear and be drawn to the one who has performed a miracle for him. He was not just a testifier. He was a witness for Christ. Who will he make whole? Someone who is grateful. Someone who will testify. Someone who will win souls. Nothing goes for nothing. I told you before I was born again, at least once in 2 weeks, malaria fever would knock me down. At least once in 2 weeks. Then I became born again. The fever continued. My soul was saved, but the fever continued. Until one day I said, Lord, heal me and I will serve you. I told you the story before. That was the last fever I had. That fever disappeared way back in 1974. And later on, he came back to me and said, well, how about the second part of the contract? That's why I'm standing before you today. Heal me and I will serve you. Nothing goes for nothing. Who will he deliver? Luke chapter 8, from verse 26 to 40. Luke 8, verse 26 to 40, talks about the madman of Gadara. This man had a legion of demons. Jesus spoke a word. All the demons scattered. The man became completely normal. He came to Jesus and said, I want to go with you. Jesus said, no, I have work for you to do. Go and tell your people what God has done for you. When the man was set free, because the people were frightened by such a mighty miracle, they came to Jesus and begged him to please leave. So Jesus left. And this man began to witness. I mean, he just kept on telling them how good Jesus had been to him, how mighty he is, etc., etc. Read the story. The Bible says by the time Jesus came back to the same coast, the people were gathered together waiting for him. They received him joyfully. Why? Because of the testimony of one madman who was set free. Who is he going to set free? A witness? A soul winner? Who is he going to change from failure to success overnight? And he's done it before. I may have told you several stories of people who became rich miraculously. Why don't you study the story of Peter? Luke 5, from verse 1 to 11. Luke 5, verse 1 to 11. He was a failure, but he welcomed Jesus into his boat. Why don't you open your house to house fellowship? Why don't you allow Jesus to come and be meeting with people in your house? A partner with Jesus Christ. Jesus was doing the preaching, he was waiting on him. Why don't you partner with Jesus? Bring the souls to Jesus and let Jesus do this salvation. Invite people to church and let them hear the gospel that will bring salvation to them. Who will Jesus turn from failure to success? Partners of Jesus. People who bring people to Jesus so that Jesus can save them. Who will God make fruitful? Who is the person that God will speak to dead womb and the dead womb will jump back to life? Why don't you check 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 to 11? 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. Hannah had been going to Silo for years. I've been praying like never before. Every year she will be there. Until one day she prayed a prayer like never before. Give me a son, Lord, and I'll give him back to you. Somehow, everybody knew that God needed a new prophet. Eli was old. The children were not following the footsteps of the father. They knew that very soon God would need a new prophet. Anna said, God, I know you have a need. You need a prophet. Okay. Give me a son. Not a girl. He said it's a girl. A son. Because your prophet must be, at that time, the prophet must be a man. Give me a son, and you have your prophet. Let's be partners. I told the workers some days ago, I read prayer requests, thousands of them. And I never read once, at least in the past years, somebody say, God, please make me a good soul winner. No, you don't see that. What do we see? Daddy, pray that God will heal me. Pray that God will prosper me. Pray that God will promote me. Pray that God will make me fruitful. God is saying, what about me?
Everything is give me, give me, give me. What are you doing for God? Where is the prayer that says, God, make me a vessel unto honor so that I can continue the work that Jesus started? Where is that? Who will God prosper? 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6 to 15. 2 Chronicles 1, 6 to 15. Solomon offered his 1,000 burnt offerings to God. God paid him a visit and said, what do you want? Anything you want, I give you a blank check. Just ask. Solomon said, give me wisdom. What for? So I can take care of your people. I want to do your work. Give me what I need to do the work. God said, all right, I give you wisdom. I give you understanding. That which you did not ask for, I will give you. Nothing goes for nothing. Whose prayer will God answer? Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is it heavy that he cannot hear. But as long as you continue in sin, your sin will separate between you and your God that he won't hear. Is there in the Bible? You want God to answer your prayer by fire? And yes, yet you are continuing in sin. Now what is sin? Again, like I told my workers a couple of days ago, sin can be in two categories. Category one, when you do what God said don't do, that is sin. That's what happened in Genesis chapter 3. God told Adam and Eve, don't eat this particular fruit. They went ahead and ate it. And sin. Category 2, sin is when you refuse to do what he asked you to do. The other word for sin is disobedience. When he said, this is what I want you to do, and you say, I'm not going to do it, that is sin. That's the kind of sin you read about in 1 Samuel chapter 15. God sent King Saul on an errand. Go and do this for me. He didn't do what God said. That's why he lost his crown. And God said, win souls for me. You've not chosen me, I've chosen you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit will abide. Then, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I make sure that you get it. There are thousands of us here tonight who have not won a single soul for Jesus Christ since the year began. Not a single soul. And yet, we want him to make us whole. We want him to set us free. We want him to make us fruitful. We want him to promote us. It's easy for him. He wants to do so. That's why he organized this meeting. I've told you before, when my assignment was becoming more and more time consuming, when, by the special grace of God, the church began to expand, and today we are more than 180 nations of the world. When I had to travel more and more, I sat down to look at some of the things I have to cut off in Nigeria so that I can cope with the international assignments. And one of the programs I wanted to cancel was Abuja Holy Ghost Service. Why? And I said, Abuja Holy Ghost Service is in November. Congress is in December. Anybody who wants to hear from God, let them come for the Congress. And Daddy said, no, don't cancel that. Now, he loves you. But where's your love for him? Because he said in Proverbs chapter 8 verse 17, Proverbs 8 verse 17, I love them that love me. Love is a two-way traffic. And he said in John 15 verse 14, John 15 verse 14, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Many of you you come to church. Thank God you come to church. Congratulations. But you never bother about those who are perishing around you. Several people in your place of work just waiting for somebody to say, come to church with me. Come. They are waiting to hear. But you won't talk. Some of you don't even let people know that you are born again. Some of you don't even bless your food so that they won't call you a fanatic. Let me tell you one thing. The definition of a fanatic is someone who loves Jesus more than you. And until people begin to notice that that's a Jesus boy, Jesus girl, you haven't started pleasing God. The preacher who spoke before me said, you can't have the benefits without the responsibilities. See, nothing goes for nothing. But you can make up your mind tonight that God, as soon as the sun rises, I'm going to begin witnessing for you. I'm going to begin winning souls for you. Just give me the grace. And you'll be amazed how speedily it will answer your prayers. Now I'm about to make the altar call. I take half a word is enough for the ones. But there's something very important. Something that happened again when I was in America last month. God just brought that thing to me as in a flash. If I ask you, are you born again? And your answer is yes. And I ask you, on what date were you born again? And your answer is, I don't know. Then I'm sorry to disappoint you. That you are not born again at all. Because the day you became born again, that day was the day you said to Jesus Christ, I will be your wife. That is the day you said to the heavenly bridegroom, I do.
How can anyone ever forget the day of his wedding? It's not possible. So if you are here tonight and you have never even given your life to Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity. You come and give your life to him. That's the beginning. Because when you give your life to him, you become a new creature. All things pass away, all things become new. But you say you are born again, and you are even already, maybe you call yourself a worker, or you're already in the choir, or and you don't know the date that you became born again, you better come. Because if the Lord returns before tomorrow, you might be surprised. So you make today the day, and you will be the day you will remember for life. I mean, I've seen a lot of people who come forward who say they are coming for salvation, and they get to the front and they begin to take pictures. And I look down in sorrow. God, what's going on? God said they have come for a picture, and a picture they will get. I'm going to count from 1 to 15. If you genuinely want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, and I mean genuinely, before I say 15, I want you to be standing before me here. Nothing goes for nothing. If you are not willing to surrender your life completely to Jesus Christ, don't blame him if he does nothing for you. I'm counting now. 1, 2. And I know some of you are coming from far away, so you better begin to come very quickly. 3. And thank you, those of you who are clapping, your hands will never be empty. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Those of you already in front, begin to talk to Jesus.
Ask him to be merciful unto you. Ask him to save your soul. Ask him to forgive your sins and give you a brand new beginning. Talk to the Lord now. Those of you on the way, begin to pray also. Call on the Almighty God. Ask him to be merciful unto you. Ask him to save your soul. Ask him to wash you clean with his blood. Begin to talk to the Lord. And please, the rest of us, let's stretch our hands towards these people and intercede for them, that the one who saved our own souls will save their souls also. Please pray for them. Intercede for every one of them tonight to have a brand new beginning in Christ. Pray for them, brethren. And those of you on the way, hurry up, because I'm about to pray for salvation now. The Lord is waiting to save your soul. Quicken your steps. Please, brethren, let's intercede for these people for just about a minute or two. Pray that God will have mercy on them and save their souls. Those of you who have come forward, talk to the Lord. Father, have mercy on me. Save my soul. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me in your blood. Open your mouth and talk to the Almighty God. Cry unto him. Your future depends on it. So pray to him. Let him hear you praying for salvation, for forgiveness of all your sins, for a brand new beginning. A brand new beginning. Now, those of you on the way, hurry up. Make sure you get here before I finish praying, because I'm about to pray now. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Savior. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Those of you on the way, hurry up. This is your day of salvation. Come and cry to Jesus. Come and cry to him to save your soul. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Savior. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Savior, I want to bless your holy name. I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you especially for these people coming to the altar call tonight. Father, please remember your promise that whosoever will come unto you, you will nowise cast out. They've come to you now, Father. Please receive them. Amen. Forgive them. Amen. Wash them clean with your blood. Amen. Save their souls. Amen. Write their names in the book of life. Amen. And please, Lord, don't let them ever go back into the world. From now on, let them begin to win souls for you. And anytime they call on you, please answer them by fire. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, those of you in front, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Congratulations, I'm rejoicing with you, and I want to make you a solemn promise. From now on, by the special grace of God, I'll be praying for you. And very soon you'll be receiving miracles, including those you do not even ask for. That's why I'm going to need your names, your address, and your prayer requests. and the counselors will compile the list and they'll give me a copy, and I promise you I'll be praying for you. So they are going to give you a card which I want you to fill very quickly and return to them. It will contain your name, your address, your prayer request, and I promise I'll be praying for you. So we'll wait for you till you finish before we go to the next item. But as soon as we finish filling the form, hand it back to the ushers and then go back to your seats. Congratulations. Let everybody clap for Jesus Christ for what he's done tonight. preach in a moment. But the Lord says that the people who received instant healing here tonight need to step forward so that their healing will be permanent. So if you are one of those people that got instant healing tonight, just come forward very quickly. Let's have just one chorus as they do that one. If God healed you here tonight, move forward so that we will decree for the healing to be permanent.
My God is a miracle God. My God is a miracle. He has never failed. He will never fail. He will do what he says he will do. He will do what he promised to do. My God.
My God is a miracle God.
My God is a miracle God. He has never failed. He will never fail. He will do what he said he will do. He will do what he promised. I can see him walking in my favor. Fighting all my battles. I can see him bringing in my miracle. He will do what he says he will do. He will do.
My God is a miracle God. My God is a miracle God. He has never failed. He will never fail. He will do what he said he will do. He will do what he promised.
I can see.
I can see. Walking in my favor.
I can see.
I think I can hear that song now more clearly. Come and see, oh.
Come and see.
Come and see, oh.
Come and see.
Come and see what the Lord has done. It is marvelous in our sight.
Oh, glory be to God.
See what the Lord has done.
It is marvelous in our sight.
Now the Lord who healed you tonight,
we make your healing permanent. You will never know sickness again. For the rest of your life, you will enjoy wholeness. And you will serve the Lord. Amen. Now you may as well just remain here. If we begin to take your testimonies, we'll be here till next week. So you give your testimonies in your churches to the glory of God. And just use that opportunity to witness and to win souls for Him. Now, go ahead, everybody, wherever you are, ask God for one, your Christmas present. That's the miracle you want God to give you before Christmas Day. Your New Year present, the one you want to enter the New Year with, and then an extra one to make it three. Don't ask for small things. Ask God for big, big things.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. And let's begin to bring our prayers to a close. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. My Father, my God, your word is unchangeable. You are the one who said, if two of us shall agree, as touching anything we ask on earth, it will be done for us by our Father in heaven. I'm in total agreement with all these your children. Before Christmas Day, surprise them. As they are entering the new year, give them another surprise. And then number three, something they will sing and dance about throughout the new year, give unto them. Father, let their joy overflow. And bless the offerings of your children. Sanctify it. Use it for your glory. All who are giving you this money, Father, don't let them ever borrow again. Father, I am praying that all these your children will cross the border of poverty forever tonight. The God I serve, that God who called me, will go with you. He will bless you. He will prosper you. He will promote you. He will defend you. He will fight for you. He will lift you up high. Everywhere you go, he will go with you. You will find favor with God. You will find favor with men. Your joy will never end. Sickness will stay away from you. Death will stay away from you. Sorrow will become a stranger to you. It shall be well with you. And you will serve the Lord. So shall it be. By the next time I hear from you, it shall be good news. And on the last day, you will not be missing in his kingdom. So shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Go in peace. Who got the biggest miracle of tonight? Shout the biggest hallelujah.
Awesome God we serve. It's been the 14th Abuja Special Holy Ghost Service, which took place at kilometer 23 Abuja Kethi Expressway. And it was an awesome service to the glory of God. I hope you've been blessed. The program has got a thing in Christ alone. That you know that in Christ alone you have salvation. In Christ alone you have peace.
Come and see you.
Name. And to our Father in the Lord, Father G.O., Pastor E.A. Adeboye, I can only say, may God continue to strengthen you in Jesus' name. Thank you everyone for worshiping with us today. Please find time to join us for the Holy Ghost Congress for the year 2015, taking place at kilometer 46 Lagos Ibadan Expressway, Ogun State, Nigeria. The program has got the theme, the floodgates of heaven. And even as you prepare to join us then, God will bless you. I'm Lillian Ogedebe. Thank you for worshiping with us today. Have a great day. Bye now. Holy Ghost Congress. Holy Ghost Congress.